Numbers 28. Last week we talked about the fact that in the Old Testament time there were offerings morning and evening, and this was a little bit of a proof text for our worship in morning and evening, both in our family devotions, our family worship, and in our corporate worship, and in our private worship. And I understood from one of you later on that he had received some mail saying that there was no proof of the fact that there was in the Bible evidence for morning worship and evening worship in families or in private or in public. And I guess I take exception to that, because I think Numbers 28 does in fact lead us in that direction, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about that this morning, but zeroing in on the sacrifices that were to be given in worship. And you'll notice that in Numbers 28 it says, "Then the Lord commanded, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offering, my food for my offering by fire, a soothing aroma to me at their appointed time. You shall say to them, this is the offering by fire which you shall offer to the Lord, two male lambs, 1 year old without a defect, as a continual burnt offering every day. You shall offer the one lamb in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight.'" And you'll notice that this was the continual burnt offering. And in verse 6 it says, "It is a continual burnt offering which was ordained in Mount Sinai, a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord." So it was incumbent upon the people of Israel in their formal worship to come before God morning and evening. And we talked about that last week. Now if you turn to Numbers chapter 18, you will notice in verse 7, and I think all of us realize that this is the case, that it was the priests in the Old Testament economy, the priests who brought the sacrifices to the Lord. And as I say in the first point in the outline, only priests were authorized to attend the altar of God and offer sacrifices to Him. And in Numbers 18 and verse 7 it says, "But you and your sons with you," that is Aaron and his sons, "but you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything concerning the altar and inside the veil, and you are to perform service. I am giving you the priesthood as a bestowed service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." It is a very amazing fact, it seems to me, that it was only the priest who were authorized by God, and not only authorized by God, but specifically appointed by God to do the service of the altar, as Numbers 18 says, that is, to perform the sacrifices. And also it was only the priests who were permitted to go inside the veil. And we know from the Old Testament that the high priest was permitted to go inside the veil in the holy place, the most holy place, once a year on the Day of Atonement. That was the province of the priests only, and it was specifically reserved for them. The Levites were given the task of assembling the tabernacle and striking the tent of the tabernacle and carrying the tabernacle from place to place as the people of God traveled in the wilderness. And it was their specific duty to do this in martial array. But it was only Aaron and his sons, who were the priests, who were permitted to do the sacrifices, perform the sacrifices, and take the blood of the covenant into the most holy place. Now that means that the performing of the sacrifices was reserved for only a small number of the people of Israel in comparison to the nation at large. dear friends in Christ. The connection is that in the New Testament economy, every believer becomes a priest before God and has access in worship into the most holy place of God. Contemplate that. Turn with me, if you would, in the New Testament now. The other end of your Bible, to 1 Peter. The little book of 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. Peter speaking to Christians. Dispersed Christians. Says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And Peter is very pointed in what he says. But you, people of God, are a holy nation. You, people of God, are a royal priesthood. You are a kingdom of priests. It is no longer the fact that the priesthood is reserved for a particular few who were by lineage related to Aaron, the brother of Moses. But now, in a marvelous way, in the New Testament era, everyone who comes to God through Jesus Christ is a priest of God. Do you catch it? In the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle and later the temple, the dwelling place of God. And God said, I will meet you there. In the New Testament, there's the church of Jesus Christ. And if we read the New Testament properly, we understand that the corporate people of God coming together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ fulfill the covenant promises of God. I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and I will dwell with you, and I will walk with you. And in the Old Testament, there was that priesthood. And in the New Testament, there's a priesthood along with that temple in the New Testament. And it's all the people of God that are the priests and have the privilege of entering into the presence of God. And that's why I've emphasized or tried to emphasize so often in our coming together on the Lord's Day, that as we come together for corporate worship, we are at the portals of heaven itself. And as the people of God dwelling on the very periphery of heaven, we are gathered around the throne of God. And God is in the midst of His people. And we are there, dear friends in Christ, as priests of God, giving our sacrifices unto God. And that's what we zero in on this morning. And it's a tremendous thing. And so we move to the third point in our outline. As priests, we are authorized to enter into God's temple. Turn with me now, if you would, just a few pages back in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 13 and verse 15. The New Testament reading from Hebrews 13. and verse 15. Listen to this. Look at it in your own Bible. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. You see, the point that we're driving to, the point that we're coming to, is that as priests of God, it is our duty and it is our obligation, every one of us, to offer up sacrifices to the living God as we come together to worship him. And it's a tremendous privilege to do so. The people in the Old Testament economy, most of them, were only allowed to stand at a distance and watch those sacrifices performed. And when Moses would go to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle as it was called, where God promised to meet with Moses, the people would stand at a distance and watch and observe in awe as the Shekinah glory would come down and Moses would meet with God. You know, that was the Old Testament economy. And now in the New Testament economy, dear friends in Christ, as we come together and we are on the peripheries of heaven and the church of Jesus Christ is the body of Christ, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, we are meeting with the living God. Now, what a privilege it is. And the glory of God comes to us. Oh, if we would just get a glimpse of the fact that this is what it's about. And that we do meet with Him. And of course, then, as the scripture in Hebrews 13:15, it says, through him then, that is through Jesus Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. You see, through him we can come to the altar. Through Jesus Christ we can come. Only through Jesus Christ we can come into the very presence of God. And it's this Jesus whom we have prayed about, who came and lived a perfect life and died on Calvary's cross. He gave up his life once for all, as Peter says. The just one, on behalf of the unjust, that's us. And Peter goes on to say that he might bring us to God. I really like that text in 1 Peter. Because the idea of the text is that Jesus Christ literally takes us by the hand. And he says to us as he takes us by the hand, I'm taking you into the very presence of God. He died once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And this is exactly what he does. And because Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and that blood of the covenant is sprinkled upon people like us, we have access into that holy sanctuary. And the writer to the Hebrews says, through him then, through this Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. As I'm saying in the third point, as priests, we are authorized to enter into God's temple only through Jesus Christ. In the fourth point, I'm saying, as priests, our duty is to offer sacrifices of praise to God in His temple. And I am very much struck by the fact, and perhaps I belabor this point, but bear with me a little bit here, as I speak about it again. We are, as priests of God, to bring sacrifices to God in His temple. And the New Testament temple is the church of Jesus Christ, of which we are privileged to be a part. And the temple of God, as Paul puts it in Ephesians 2, is the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And we're not talking about the building. We talked about that in our class with the young adults and college students this morning, that the building is not the temple. It's the people being built into a temple. You and me,
built into a living temple. You are living stones being built into a spiritual house. It's you and me, brother, and you and me, sister, as the gospel hymn says. And we're being built together into a spiritual house, a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. And I maintain, as the Puritans maintain, that when we come together as the people of God to worship God, it's a special time at the appointed times. And God is present in a special way. And I really believe this with all my heart, that more and more as we contemplate that and as we are eager to draw near to God as the people of God in the assembly of God and meet with God, significant things will happen and lives will be changed and God will speak to us. That's the pattern in the Old Testament, and I'm fully persuaded it's the pattern in the New Testament. And so we're called upon to bring sacrifices through Jesus Christ to God. We are priests of God to do that. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 again. Through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. You know, I'm thrown back again to Numbers chapter 28. And in Numbers chapter 28, when the Lord spoke to Moses, He said to Moses, you're going to offer a sacrifice in the morning and you're going to offer a sacrifice in the evening, and that's a continual practice. These are my continual burnt offerings. And there's an emphasis on the word continual here. And Matthew Henry picks that up. Some of you who were here last week will remember this, that Matthew Henry picks that up. And Matthew Henry says that, how can it be that if we are going to pray continually, that at least we're going to have to pray in the morning and pray in the evening. We're going to have to praise in the morning and give praise to God in the evening. That's the continual sacrifice. And look at Hebrews chapter 15. Or Hebrews 13, 15 again. Look at what it says. Through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Now how are you going to continually do that? Well, the Old Testament pattern, once again, dear friends, is the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And it seems to me there's only one way to continually offer up praise to God, is to offer up that praise to God in the morning and offer up that praise to God in the evening, to do so in private prayer, to do so in family worship, and to do so in corporate worship. There's only one way to do that. Yet it seems to me that the tie is pretty direct. Through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. And what is the sacrifice the priests in the New Testament are to give? The sacrifice of praise to God. We are to give praise to God. You know, one of the most difficult things for us to do, even as Christians, very often, is to give thanks to God. One of the most prevalent problems that the Israelites had in the wilderness was that they grumbled. Paul says in Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And the very first example that the Apostle Paul gives of working out your salvation is, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Amazing. And of course the opposite is, give praise. Give thanks. There's a passage of Scripture in Romans that we love. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Shall I repeat that text? Now, let me ask you a question. If all things, I don't hear anything excluded there, if all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes, do you think it is possible that there is a bare possibility that in every circumstance of life there is something for which we may give thanks to God? What do you think? Now, I'm not saying that when a family member is struck down by a dread disease, that we thank God for the disease. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that in that circumstance, there certainly is the work of God. And if all things work together for good to those who love God, there is in that circumstance even items for which we may give praise to God. And sometimes it's a sacrifice to do so, isn't it? It's hard. It's sacrificial to give praise. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Thank You, Lord, for the life that You have been pleased to give me. Forgive me, O God, for my grumbling and complaining. The grumbling and complaining that so often trips across my lips. Put praise in my heart and on my tongue, O God. As priests, our duty is to offer sacrifices of praise to God in His temple. And what are these sacrifices of praise? Look at verse 15 again. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to Him. What is the sacrifice? The fruit of lips that gives thanks to God. As I thought about this a little bit, I thought about one of the Psalms that we so often sing, the 100th Psalm. And many of the Psalms are like this, are they not? Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Dear friends in Christ, the Lord is good. Give thanks to the Lord. Praise His name. Give blessing to Him. Speak well of Him. This is part of the lesson. And as we come together as God's people on a Lord's Day, it is part of our service to God to do so, to give praise to Him. And this brings me finally to Psalm 50.
Because you see, God has always been pleased with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. God's always been pleased with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 50 and verse 14. Look at it with me if you would. See, here's an injunction. A straightforward injunction. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. What are we to do? Give praise to God. And when we come together and sing the Psalms, we ought to give praise to God for His goodness and His grace and His greatness, and we ought to exalt in Him. And then there's Psalm 50 and verse 23. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. And so I ask the question finally in the outline, do you really want to honor God? You know, we say this, do we not? We say that this is our desire to honor God. That this is our posture. And so the psalmist says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors God. As time permits, let me read to you a couple of comments by Charles Spurgeon concerning Psalm 20 or Psalm 50 and verses 14 and 23. Listen to this. Let the sacrifice be really presented to God who seeth the heart. Pay to Him the love you promise, the service you covenanted to render, the loyalty of heart you vowed to maintain. Oh, for grace to do this, Spurgeon says. Oh, that we may be graciously enabled to love God, to live up to our profession, to be indeed the servants of the Lord, the lovers of Jesus. This is our main concern. Oh, that the grace of God may be in our hearts to do so. And then he says, with regard to verse 23, praise is the best sacrifice. True, hearty, gracious thanksgiving from a renewed mind. And then he says, and I really like this, he says, the lowing of bullocks bound to the altar, not the lowing of bullocks bound to the altar, but the songs of redeemed men are the music which the ear of Jehovah delights in. Sacrifice your loving gratitude and God is honored. Praise God. This ought to be our posture. In the Old Testament, there was the tabernacle and the temple. In the New Testament, there is the church of Jesus Christ. Dwelling place of God, dwelling place of God. In the Old Testament, there was a company of priests. Thanks be unto God, in the New Testament era, there is also a company of priests. You and me. In the Old Testament, there were sacrifices given to God on the altar. In the New Testament, there are sacrifices which are also given by the priests, the sacrifices of praise. Oh, as Spurgeon says, God, give us the grace. Give us the grace to praise and worship you as we ought. You know what I think? I really think this is the case. That when people come in that door back there, and the people of God are worshiping in here, not because it's a special physical place, but because it's the people of God at worship. And God is dwelling in the midst of the people. That when people come in, they should sense that they are entering into the very portals of heaven itself. And as Paul says in Corinthians, they would fall down on their faces and worship because they know God is present. I think that ought to happen. I really do. And I pray, God, that we will learn in His providence and in His grace and under the tutelage of His Word to give proper sacrifices of praise to Him. May God be pleased to make it so.